traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
So I dropped them all in a blender, like 10 of them, and then this was one of the darkest ones I did. And then blended the mice, everything fur,
that's
like
crazy.
Tails and bones, and then
did you ever
drank it.
This is a disaster. This sucks.
What do you got?
What do we got? Fucking long acrylic nails.
Damn, you're right.
For a vlog. There's Mike.
Oh, there he is.
How'd it go?
What's going on?
Horrible.
How was it? How'd you
do it? Horrible. I did it, but wiping is impossible.
Mike just went to the bathroom.
It's impossible.
And apparently wiping with these long acrylic nails is the hardest. I feel so bad for you. You made it.
I feel like Cardi B stanking. Oh, fuck. Shit.
That was so bad. It worked. I don't know if
fuck you know, yeah. I don't know if you could say that, man. Might have to cut that. Danny, could you mark that? Timestamp it, please? Because the PR team's going to have to review it. God forbid we say anything that offends anyone. Okay?
Welcome
shut
back.
The fuck up!
Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Hit that subscribe button, guys. We're feeling a little goofy today. This is for a vlog. Not in our personal lives. Well, I guess sort of. Spencer already broke a nail.
Yeah.
Playing basketball.
I don't even know where to start today. But anyways, guys, subscribe to this channel. If you're not already subscribed, wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, we do an audio-only Q&A with the guest after the show is over. This dude lives for adventure. He is a wild man. His great aunt was the governor of Kentucky back during the Civil War era.
Whew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great
wow.
State.
Yeah, he's pretty
state.
Crazy. He's a Rastafarian, I think. Who knows? His hair is one. It's fun for Louis, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Ow.
I'll give you like a little fist pump because I don't want to break your nails, you know.
There you go.
How you doing, bro?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thanks for coming all the way to Encino. What do you make of this? You walked in and the first thing I did was dap you up.
Yeah, this is wild. I need to try these nails.
No,
man.
You don't. No, you don't.
You wouldn't recommend them?
Recommend it 0 to 10, not to a friend.
Okay.
Yeah. How you doing, bro? You came to the party the other day.
Yeah. It was a
Super Bowl party.
First time we met.
Yeah.
First time I've seen this place. It's cool.
What do you think? You can be honest.
No, I love it. I love it.
Ah, tight.
I like meeting your pig. And I've got a special bond with Kong.
With Kong the Savage.
Yeah, yeah. He spent like half the night up my hoodie just with his head hanging.
I had video of that on my story. What do you think you bond with him over? Because he doesn't bond with any people. He's what we call a paperweight.
I feel like I have a special bond with animals. I honestly do, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I grew up in... when I was younger, I grew up... Like, I decorated my entire bedroom as a jungle, like a rainforest, and had, like, trees in there. I had, like, a lizard roaming around.
Yo, I feel it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're like a wild man, sort of, which is dope. And you got a YouTube channel. You got 2 million subscribers. Mm-hmm. We actually used your footage in my end-of-year video when we were talking about the art of vlogging. Because you've vlogged for a while, and your stuff is adventure. Your brand is Live the Adventure.
It
seems pretty self-explanatory. And I enjoy living the adventure. But what does that mean? Is there a deeper meaning than just living an adventure?
Yeah, I think for me, like adventure, I think it's a personal thing, right? What's your own adventure, you know? Yeah. And for me, that has been a lot of travel, exploring the world. But I think I like the idea to inspire people to kind of live their own adventure. Yeah. That might not be the same as me, like traveling constantly or whatever, but I think everyone has something that they need to like push out of their comfort zones and be adventurous in.
Are you an adrenaline junkie? Because you've done a lot of shit.
I think I can appreciate a bit of adrenaline, but I don't know if I'm like on the junkie status. Mm.
So you're like just in like a loose like dependence on it. You're not addicted.
Yeah,
You're not a junkie.
Yeah, but didn't you?
Oh,
just,
I get it.
You just hop in a plane and like circumnavigate the entire Earth?
Yeah. That
And by the way, Did you circumnavigate it, or did you go like around because, you know, like Earth could be flat and stuff, like who knows?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? You were up there.
I don't think it's flat because we flew around it, but I see, you know, I've seen the theory of how we could have done it if it was flat, so I can't prove it, but it felt more globular.
Yeah. Did you bring a globular? Did you have a, you didn't bring a level up with you, right? Because I've seen a lot of guys with the... with the level.
Just
you
know, to, go just to make sure the horizon's
yeah, like right. To hold it against the
where's
window.
The curvature?
Yeah,
where's yeah, the curvature?
It's hard to see the curvature. People say you can, but we didn't also, because we're in a light aircraft, it's like a small Cessna. It's like a 1970s. It wasn't pressurized. So we were like, we couldn't go above like 13, 14,000 feet.
Let me ask you something, man. Are you crazy?
Yeah, what's your problem?
Every plane, plane crash I see involves a motherfucking Cessna.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there was a few hairy moments, so...
What do you mean, hairy moments?
Some would call me crazy, possibly, yeah.
We mean hairy moments, man. Yo, we are about to fly to from Mammoth Film Festival to Vegas.
Okay.
And I refuse to go in the plane without a parachute, the small engine aircraft, the Cessna. Yeah. I have to have it. You didn't have anything?
We had no parachute. We had nothing.
He paid extra so we can get a double engine, just in case the first one gives out. And I'm not overly worried about it because we're flying over the... I'm kind of worried, but we're flying over the desert the whole time, and it's almost like, oh, we're going down. And then they're just like, all right, well, we're just going to put it right here because it's fucking nothing. It's just it's a runway.
I don't know if you guys calculated this, but how many are you on the plane and how many parachutes do you have?
One parachute, three Maverick teammates.
So are you just dipping on?
No, we have it all figured out.
We really, no yeah. joke about it.
We sat in the kitchen and I explained how.
Okay, let's see it.
I would put my legs around Mike, wrap him. Evan would hug Mike facing him.
Okay.
And of course we're going to break a leg or something when we land. But it's better than not living at all.
My fear.
I like it.
My fear is that we hawk it. We're like, the guy's like, oh, we lost an engine, mate. We're going to have to hawk it. And I don't know why.
Who is this guy?
He's an Australian that we picked up in Mammoth. Everybody jump out now. And fucking.
I think he's Scottish. He's Scottish.
Yeah, that's where it's Scottish.
Whatever. I'm not great with accents or I'd be a stand-up comedian. Right? And all of a sudden we all jump out. I break both my femurs. Logan gets brain damage, even worse than Curran. Freaking Evan, I don't even know what happens to Evan. And then the dude just lands the plane. He's like, he just.
I got it working.
I got it back up.
Jumped out.
Susie, they jumped out the back of the plane. Throw another shrimp on the barbie.
The thing with flying over the US is you're pretty safe because if your engine's cut, there's always some kind of emergency landing strip within gliding distance. But as soon as you get out of the States and you're like crossing huge expanses of ocean, there's like nowhere to go. So we basically installed all these extra fuel tanks in the plane, like just kind of metal tanks in the back, and we had to get a bicycle pump and pump the fuel from the back into the engines because some of the flights
midair,
yeah. So we're pumping, and then we were really remote in the Pacific Ocean, like in between islands, like probably like 400 miles from any land, and my friend the pilot was pumping and the pump snapped. And we had like empty tanks.
Out of gas, guys. Yeah, no problem.
We had empty tanks. And he was like, he sat there for a moment. We were looking at each other. And then he ran the calculations. He says, if we don't fix this, we're going to have to ditch into the ocean 30 miles shit. Before we reach the
Shut
next
the
island.
Fuck yeah, up. Yeah.
Question for you.
How'd you fix that?
Exactly.
So he climbed in the back. We were trying to like tie the, we had some string, we had some glue. We ended up managing to like glue it together, pull some string. I wasn't panicking at this stage because I was like, I like problem solving, so I was like, okay, this is a problem. Let's solve it. And then we were like figuring it out. And luckily, it took about half an hour, but luckily we figured it out. Wow. I think at that point, if we'd exhausted all the different avenues, I think, you know, we would have had to. But do you know what we did have? We had a life raft. We had like full immersion, like waterproof suits that we had to put on. So if he managed to ditch it in the ocean and we managed to get out, we could actually kind of survive. Just
holy shit.
Have a beacon.
This is no joke.
Yeah, it was pretty serious. Around.
Do you know, are you familiar with the North Sentinelese Islands?
No.
This conversation won't really work, I guess.
It's that, you know it. It's the island that the missionary went and got pierced with arrows because
they have
that
absolutely no
tribe.
Human yes. contact.
I have heard about that. Yeah.
And they have to protect themselves from potentially humans bringing disease to the island because they have absolutely no immunity to modern day disease. And so as soon as anyone steps foot on the island, they say that it's in their own protection to take that person
out. But don't you think if anyone were to go there and live, It would be Louis.
Well, so that was my question. So say you crash land and, yeah. and you know, I hear your pilot already. Oh, you were going down, mate. We're about to crash. Right? And you're going down and they're like, the only place is North Sentinelese Islands. Should we go? Like, what do you do? Do you stay on the plane and go down the plane, or do you take a risk at getting hit with bows, arrows, and blow darts?
I'd take a risk. I feel like I can, you know, I'm not good with languages, unfortunately. I travel a lot, but I feel like body language, you can kind of
yeah.
have a rapport with people.
Yeah, just
can't
like,
speak. Yeah. yeah, like, don't kill me. Yeah. I don't know.
Do you yep. have a certain body language you do with an arrow when it's coming at you, like to try to like tell the arrow to stop?
Do you know what I think I do? I think I try and like confuse him by like dancing or something, like when I'm approaching, and it would kind of like throw him off, like, okay, this isn't like, you know, this, cool. he's not being aggressive if you're dancing. Cool. You know, maybe you could have a little dance battle.
Or even like, they're like, he's clearly not all there.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, we've seen this before with an animal by the name of Kong. Let him come. Let him through.
You know, Mayday? You know how pilots, when their planes go down, they yell Mayday?
Mm.
Anyone know the origin of that? Fun fact. Mayday right. is a French word. It's pronounced, actually in French, it's pronounced Mayday. And it means help me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Shade me. Help me. Help me. Help
the more
me.
You know.
Mayday. Yeah, the more you know. That's crazy, man. Do you have that thing in your mind that recognizes and senses fear? Or is that absent?
I'd like to look at fear as a logical thing of like, okay, I'll weigh up the probability of something bad happening. And then if it's a high probability, I think I'll be more scared. And obviously, the lower the probability, I'm like, it's kind of in my head, it's logical anyway. I don't know whether it's like Louis logic or real
that,
logic.
That is Louis logic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah. a lot of people have irrational fears. But
yeah, I don't think I've got irrational fears. I feel like I've got any fears I do have.
So you do like calculations prior to.
Yeah. Or I trust people. I think I'm very trusting. And I'm an optimist, which helps with fear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think being an optimist has other problems, like, you know, you
trust people too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
I do those same calculations at the club when I'm trying to decide if I have to wear a condom that night or not. Like with the girl. Like I'm like, carry,
and I was,
two
I
plus
will
six,
say,
carry
I
was, the four.
Yeah, he's an optimist. So most of the time.
It looks okay to me. We're going to run this one raw dog.
Wow. All right,
whoa.
Okay.
All right, anyways.
Sorry about my friend Mike.
My friend Mike.
Has there ever been a moment where you knew I'm scared. I'm terrified for my life right now.
Mm. Yeah, probably. I'm trying to think.
Mr. Tough Guy over here. All right. I've had a couple because like, that's why I like your stuff is like kind of crazy, bro. Like whether you like to admit it or not, you're doing things that a lot of people aren't simply because of fear. And, you know, I've had a couple near-death experiences where I really had to think about what I was like at Yosemite even. Like I don't want to call it near death, but yeah, we went under the waterfall and like,
oh
yo, how much farther can we get with it where like one of us slips and falls and is a statistic?
Yeah. Mm.
Has that ever happened?
I've had a few, I'm trying to think, like I've had feelings where I'm like scared, like this could go wrong. I've had other times where like, I'm sure I almost drowned once. My friend saved me, that kind Ooh. Of situation. Like if he wasn't there, damn. I don't think I'd be here.
What happened that time?
I'm not great at like ocean swimming. Like if it's turbulent, and this is something I need to work on. But I'm really bad in cold. Like I've got like barely any body fat, so like I get cold really quickly. Yeah. So we were swimming out. We went far, but I just started. My body started seizing up, and I was like starting to like, you know, I guess it was like hypothermia or something, but. And then I got super dizzy and I managed to grab onto one of those floating buoy yeah. things. Yeah. And I'm like holding and then everything's spinning and I'm like, feel like I'm about to pass out. And then luckily my friend is with me. He managed to like swim me ashore and I was like,
damn,
crawled ashore. So that's the kind of, I've had probably a few situations like that, but it's.
Water's tricky. He flipped his kayak at Yosemite and almost.
That was a dangerous trip overall. Yeah. Water is not fun. I'm also not good at swimming.
Yeah.
I saw you did a cold plunge with the Yes Theory boys.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know you don't like cold in general. So
that's why they came around the house. And they didn't give me a chance because they showed up with the cameras rolling.
Ah.
And they like dared me on camera like to come with him. I was like, oh.
Your scream in that was amazing. It was priceless.
I didn't know I could hit that high note.
That was a very high note.
Yo, so I don't know how true this is or the history of this, but did you used to eat roadkill?
I did, yeah. Yeah. So before Fun for Louis, my current channel, this is how I got into YouTube. My friends and I were sitting around one night and I had this like party trick where they would like see a spider on the floor and tell me to eat it. And this wasn't even for like a video. It was just like for entertainment. And then they'd filmed a few of these videos on their phones. And then they were like, oh, we should start a YouTube channel. And this is before I'd even really heard about channels on YouTube. I just watched, you know, music videos and stuff. So I was like, yeah, you know, this would be fun. And it escalated pretty quickly. We started just doing crazy stunts. And then I kind of wanted to push myself as well. Like, how far can I take this? How extreme? I'm sure you're used to this.
Of course.
How extreme can you go?
Yeah.
And people were like daring me, like, eat this, eat that. So I basically, we just, every week we'd have to beat the week before and how crazy we could get. So it started with like drinking a bottle of wasabi. Then I went to a pet shop and bought like a box of live like locusts. And I just put the entire box of like wriggling live locusts in my mouth. Next week, I think we got some cockroaches. Then I went to like a live emperor scorpion, ate that. Oh. And then we did a live tarantula. That was pretty mad.
You ate a tarantula?
Yeah. But live. Do you know what I mean? Because you see it in like, in Cambodia, it's like a normal, like they fry out the scorpions and tarantula
and
stuff.
Yeah.
But when its fangs are there and you're like,
Did it pop when you bit into it?
Yeah. So I kind of like went down that route for a while, but started getting some backlash like from people that were really angry.
What was the backlash? Just like thinking about,
More that it was cruel and I was like, I don't know, it was more about animal cruelty. But for me, at the time, I ate a lot of meat anyway and I didn't see the difference between kind of eating meat that had been killed in a slaughterhouse and probably suffered to like me literally biting the head off something. And then I actually got in the most trouble for eating a goldfish.
Did you eat it or swallow it? Because Steve-O has swallowed goldfish.
Yeah, and I've seen.
And David Blaine upchucks frogs.
At the time, I'd seen loads of videos on YouTube of like frat parties, people chugging goldfish and stuff. Yeah. It was like a thing. But I picked it out and it was like flapping around and I bit the head off, which I actually think is a quicker than putting it in your stomach and it dying. Anyway. Yeah. So I bit the head off, ate it. Didn't think it was any different to my other videos, but apparently that's illegal in the UK. So the RSPCA. They showed up at my house. I don't know how they got my address, but they threatened to arrest me.
Whoa.
And I ended up having to go to court and...
For eating a goldfish?
Yeah, it was crazy. But I was in the national papers. Like they somehow like this blew up and it seemed... Sure. I think partly because it was kind of crazy that I'm getting threatened. You know, there was like a £20,000 fine or three months in jail, kind of. It was like pretty extreme for eating.
I thought
you were
going to say a $20,000 bounty on your head for the goldfish.
No, but
United Alliance of Locust Protection Act of 1976.
You know, my dad, you know Greg Paul,
great guy,
takes us fishing when we were younger. We have a cabin in Ohio, and sorry, Dad, I'm not sure if you want me to say this. He was infamous for. Catching the sunfish and taking a bite out of its spine.
Ooh, yeah.
Whilst it's alive.
As soon as he caught it, it's like a thing, right?
Yeah. I think it's like they say it's the most nutritious time.
Yeah,
to eat
exactly.
It
so it's like really? It's sushi, fresh. Sort of. Yeah,
why?
Yeah,
wow. Literally
bite right out of the back. I'm not sure if it was illegal though. I know getting a goldfish drunk in Ohio is illegal for some reason.
Really?
That's a real
interesting.
Law.
I'm curious as to like you go to jail and like somebody's like,
yeah, I know. I was literally imagining this.
You're like what'd you do, bro?
What are you in for?
Say, like, oh, I killed three people. It's kind of, you know. How about you?
I think I would have made something up. I think I would have.
I had a thing with some sort of
eight fish.
Well, it was a goldfish.
It was a fish.
Okay, so then you've gone harder than eating a goldfish.
You know what we're talking about.
Don't play.
Don't play whatever you're playing. Atari.
I mean, I ate lots of crazy.
I thought
things.
You like.
I blended.
Drank mice. You
there we
blended
go.
Blended
mice.
So anyone with reptiles can buy like frozen mice to feed their reptile, and then you like defrost them and they're just like these fluffy little dead mice.
Yeah.
So I dropped them all in a blender, like 10 of them, and then this was one of the darkest ones I did. And then blended the mice, everything, fur, like tails and bones, and then
did you ever throw up?
Yeah, that was close. I think that one I took one chug and then like vomited back into my mouth, and then but I never like it was amazing. I think it was like a mind over matter thing.
So let me get this straight. You actually at one point drank regurgitated mouse
blended
milkshake.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, that's wow. That makes it even worse. Yep.
So yeah, there's some pretty dark things. But it's interesting now because I had this kind of realization. Oh, I don't think I want this to be my legacy in life, being the weirdo. I remember the first time I came to VidCon back in like 2012 or something. And apparently everyone was being warned that I was this complete freak. Like, watch out for this dude. Like, he's, you know, avoid him, basically.
What?
But I'm like actually a nice guy. Like, I'm not the freak that I was kind of, that was my persona online. It wasn't me. So then I realized, oh, I kind of want to show people the real me and started a new channel.
Was it, be honest with me, was it your persona or were you at a point in your life where that what you were a little bit more reckless than you are now?
No, I think it was this kind of like very small part of me wanting to push the boundaries a bit. And I guess it was a part of me, but it was like people assumed they, my entire life was like, I was a freak and I was a really extreme, but it was just like this, it just happened to be the only thing I was uploading onto YouTube, but it wasn't.
So now it's quite the opposite. Aren't you vegan?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all just like a fun calamity?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's been a really interesting path for me the last few years that I've kind of literally kind of gone to the other end of the...
That's a pretty extreme, like eating roadkill. Like, aren't you worried about nutritious like illnesses, like or nutritional illnesses?
Yeah, well, this is another thing where my optimism probably
is that a thing?
I don't think that's what it would be called. I think it'd be like a foodborne illness.
I know what you're saying, like parasites and stuff.
Yeah, parasitical.
So I didn't graduate college. Hey,
and
I
engineer dog.
Engineer dog.
I saw you. One thing I will say is, do you ever, you're vegan now, but do you ever like almost relapse? Because I saw you with Kong in your shirt the other day. You were looking at him. I took a video. You were looking at him like, I want to bite this dude's head off right now.
No,
you did.
That wasn't the look.
Well,
no, I have like a lot.
Yourself.
I feel like I've got this weird bond with animals now. I almost feel like some animals know that I don't eat animals. Like I was in the Dominican Republic walking down the road like a few months ago. And this chicken, no joke, like walked up to me and I crouched down. And chickens normally run away. And it like jumped into my arms.
Whoa.
And it was like, honestly, it was like one of those, almost a spiritual moment. The chicken was looking at me. It was like, I was like, yeah, man, like, I'm not going to eat
that's
you.
That's
like,
tight. It's cool. Hey, that's tight. Cool. No, as weird as it sounds, I see it, dude. The way you and Kong are, I'm like, they belong together. Like, you can have them, actually. Yeah, fuck. He barks in the morning at like 7 a.m. You got him. You got him.
It's weird because
if you ever need a puppy sitter, I'll take him off your
hands. Man, a lot of girls love babysitting Kong. He just got a haircut, too. My man's looking fresh.
Where is he?
Right here. Olga is chilling with Kong right now.
You want to bring him up?
Olga, bring him up.
He's been being talked about the whole episode.
Young Kong the Savage.
So the story with Food for Louis, so that was the original channel, right, is that
how many subs did that get up to? Just curious.
Got like 500,000 subs. Okay. And I was getting like amazing views because obviously it's all kind of sensational, crazy content. Yeah. Most of views were hitting like 1 million views. And back then it was like unheard of because I was getting double the views of my subscribers. It was a cool time. And I it's not like I look back and regret it in a way. Like I feel like it's part of my journey.
Of course.
But that channel, basically I killed. I didn't delete it, but I just took down all the videos and left it dormant for like 5 years. And as of like a month ago, I basically relaunched the channel as a vegan cooking channel. And I just thought, okay, some of the original subscribers are going to get a little bit of a surprise. They're going to be like, hang on. So I did a little mini like 15-minute doc about the journey just to explain so people could kind of catch up with where I'm at. And that was fun just to kind of tell my story for the first time. And then just started uploading some, because I've moved to LA recently. So I've got like a kitchen for the first time.
Tight.
Living with a bunch of friends. So I'm actually getting to cook meals. And I'm like a really bad cook. So it's not like I'm actually talented. I'm really just figuring it out. So I just thought it'd be fun to make some videos around that. And
was anyone mad that you weren't eating blended mice?
No, I got like the nicest comments saying like, oh, hey, this isn't really what I subscribe to, but good luck on your path.
That's
and like,
cool. I'm just imagining like one or two of his old subscribers, like Hicks in like Kentucky, like, what the hell's this shit?
Yeah.
He's like, well, first you take the kale and you're going to mix it in with the blended tree branch. And they're just like, where are the blended mice, man?
Man, I hung out with this dude. I was shooting an episode of Logan Paul Versus.
It was which is a show where I just went up against the craziest shit. And this particular episode was the wilderness. Logan Paul versus wilderness, had to stay outside for 48 hours on a deserted island. And the dude who owned the island also is the inventor of Billy Bob teeth. I don't know if you know, you know, they, you put those teeth in, you look like a hillbilly.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've seen them.
And this dude literally grew up like underneath a rock, went to school with no shoes. And he was the first person that exposed me to the fact that you could eat roadkill. He would see a dead raccoon on the side of the street and pick it up, cook it. He did it right in front of me.
Yeah.
And he, by the way, I love this
but
dude.
He'd cook it. He'd cook it, right?
He'd cook it like, yeah. And he, by the way, his house is incredible. He's got every animal you can imagine, like two pet bears.
This is under the rock.
A family of wolves. No, now he's got Billy Bob teeth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blew him up.
$50 to $100 million in like 2-3 years. And by the way, he lives in the middle of, I don't even know what state, like Illinois. So
the house is crazy.
Dude. Yeah. But yeah, what was the big switch that made you go vegan? Because that's a
It was overnight as well. It wasn't like I weaned myself off. It was like meat every meal and then overnight like that. Which, because I think I'm an all or nothing kind of guy.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe you might be like that too.
I am.
I feel like I either want to go all in. I'm not like a halfway person. So.
Yeah.
It was a number of things. I think to start with, a few of my friends have started down that kind of vegan route. And I was like, I'm always open. I feel like I like being open about my opinions and always kind of keeping an open mind about different things going on. So I was like, yeah, I'm willing to listen, but I was never really convinced. And then I met a guy in Australia who had got cancer and actually had healed himself of cancer by eating a plant-based diet.
I heard that
really fascinated me. I was like, whoa. And he was kind of explaining, and he had this amazing garden with all these fruits and vegetables. So I was kind of like, made me think about my diet a bit. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to like get heart disease and all that kind of stuff. I was like, I want to live a long life. So that was one thing that I started thinking about. And then also with my kind of love of animals, and like I'd always had pets, and I realized, I made a vlog once and I'd like saw these donkeys in my vlog and they were like skinny and they weren't being looked after. And I was like a bit upset. And I was talking to my vlog like, oh man, I wish I could help. But then the next scene I was sitting down for lunch and eating like this big platter of meat. And it was like, someone commented like, oh, it's weird how you don't make the connection between the donkeys and this platter of meat and these animals and like how they had suffered. And it kind of stumped me. I was like, yeah, like you're right. Like that's true. Like I can't argue that. That's true. And then eventually so there'd been a few things kind of rolling over my head, but I hadn't made the connection. And then I watched this documentary called Cowspiracy, I thought it was going to be like, you know, there's undercover footage of slaughterhouses when cows are getting kicked. And I was like, that never really convinced me. It's horrible, but it never convinced me to stop eating meat. But the Cowspiracy doc was all about like how like the environment and how we are causing so much damage with the farming industry, and that, you know, if we make this simple decision, we can basically do a huge amount for the planet. And I just thought, you know, I've lived pretty luxuriously.
As luxuriously as Kong?
Yeah, maybe. for years, and I'd like eaten anything I wanted, and I was, you know, sometimes just overeating or just ordering anything on the menu I was eating out. And I just thought, this could be a cool challenge to see if I could go vegan. And I wasn't planning for it to be a lifelong thing, but, you know, the next day I went vegan, and since then I've just felt like, so that was initially like an environmental thing. Then I felt like, health, like I felt so healthy after that. I felt like my body cleared out, like my sinuses. I felt like loads of energy. I wasn't getting that slump. You know when you eat tons of meat and then you feel like, oh, like a food coma. Wasn't getting that.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I have a question on that Cowspiracy environmental thing.
Yeah.
the big contributor of
CO2, methane, right? Mm-hmm. Is the cow population, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That are,
and then water as well. There's a lot of water used
that goes
in like,
into it. Yeah, here's my question. At least in the short term, aren't we reducing cow farts when we kill the cows to eat them? And listen, let me finish this, okay? At least in the short term, if we don't kill those cows and say the cows keep reproducing and we end up saturated with cow farts, can we potentially do severe acute short-term fart damage to the atmosphere? Throwing that out there, bro, something to think about.
Well, everyone's breeding the cows to eat, so I'm sure we wouldn't have like billions and billions and billions of cows. I think it's probably like, I don't know numbers, but there must be as many cows in America as...
He knows. No, Spencer knows the exact count.
I do. I'll whip that out. In 1920, there was 14 million cows. In 2018, there was 94 million cows.
Wow.
Beef Crazy. Cows. Just beef cows.
Oh, what other kind of cows? They make turkey cows?
Dairy.
Oh, dairy cows. Okay. Mm.
But anyway,
the smart ass.
The point is, so I went from like this environmental, wanting to make an environmental difference. Then I was like, wow, I can feel the health benefits of this. And then I went... More recently, even though I've always loved animals, I kind of made that connection of like, you know what? I think I love animals enough to not want to
eat them,
kill them. Yeah, I feel like there's like this connection now. Where I feel like there's like an ethical reason why I just wouldn't want to start eating meat again. It's because
you ever going to go back?
I can't see it happening, honestly. And
how long have you been vegan?
I think 3 years, maybe 3 years now.
It's about the same as Spencer, right? You're what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, yeah.
But so I get it as well. Like, because I've been on that journey, I literally used to eat blended mice. Like, I get that not everyone has had that same journey. And I know that the vegan community can come on really heavy. So I haven't wanted to like kind of preach about it and make people feel judged about their choices and stuff. So
we adapted here. And I know Spencer's a fan of this, at least to start. Like this, they call it flexitarian.
Okay, yeah.
So this is me not joking for once, right? So this flexitarian approach, and it's basically trying to limit your meat intake a little bit. So we do, every lunch we have is generally vegan for the most part. And I think even just starting there and cutting back at least has some impact. I know Spencer said that in the past, but I think it's at least a start.
Yeah, that's a great, I'm a big fan of that. I think you've got you can't be all or nothing, even though that's like that's my journey. I think most people aren't an all or nothing kind of people.
You're an extremist.
Yeah.
So
also recently you rode your bike from London to Africa.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd never, this is cool because I'd never done any long distance cycling before. Like I've never done anything more than just leisure cycling around.
Yeah,
that was a great challenge.
Why you make the decision to do that? Just a challenge?
My friends, so I've, before YouTube and like probably since, I don't know, like probably the last 18 years, I've been connected with this charity in the UK in South London and gone on a lot of trips with them and awesome projects they're doing, but they were doing a fundraiser and they said to raise money, there's a group of 10 guys and we were all going to cycle from London to Morocco to Northern Africa. And I was like, man, that sounds amazing. Like I'm so down. So
was there any part when you were cycling through the ocean that you started to think like, how am I doing this? Do you know what I'm saying?
The English Channel. How did you cross
that? Okay, we had to cross the English Channel. I think we got it.
Was there a fear of sharks?
Yeah, like that? Was there any part where like you might have got a flat tire and actually sunk to the bottom of the abyss?
You're joking, but do you know this? In a couple of months, we are actually, instead of bikes, we're the same charity. We're doing another long distance fundraiser, but we're kayaking the length of the River Thames, which starts in kind of the west side of England for 10 days and then actually kayaking across the English Channel, which is like a 30-40 mile stretch.
And there's been some people who have swam it.
Yeah, right? They have.
A couple.
I would definitely die. I would die for sure doing that.
It's funny because you talk about bikes. We both have two really weird bucket list items. I've always wanted a lazy river. I've talked about this numerous times in the past. I want to build a lazy river in the backyard.
Oh, that sounds great.
I love pools of water. And
you could just sit there all day.
All day. Read, beat, whatever you want. Right?
Just invite me over when you
course,
do that.
Of course, of course. His the nails knocked it over. His thing is he wants a flying bike. He really wants a flying bike. Like you ride down the street and like you have the music in the back like dun, 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 and like long wings and then you just take off.
So not like these drone things. I saw Casey Neistat had like gotten a single drone thing and took off.
That was awesome.
That was cool.
That was awesome.
That's like the closest I've seen.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, there's a guy. There's a guy in the UK with a YouTube channel. He's called Colin Furs, and he made it was like a flying bike, but it was like two huge fans, and it had a saddle in the middle, and the fans are pointing downwards, right? And it had handlebars. You need to check
that way. It worked. I would love to look at it.
It only took off like it hovered. It hovered like. But you need to check that out, because that was that is actually the closest.
You can't.
We're fine.
It's always the thing about those flying vehicles.
What's his name?
Colin Furs.
Colin Furs. F-U-R-Z-E.
Have you guys seen the guy that tried to? He was the first wingsuit guy that tried to make a wingsuit off the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, I have seen that. It's just horrifying.
Did he survive?
No, hell no.
Absolutely not. No.
There's a video?
Yeah.
The video of it. It's so sad.
Mind you, what was this, like 1920?
Okay.
The dude's like standing up there with this giant, like baggy wingsuit on, and he's like,
it's going to look good.
And he just says it. Just straight
falls
down
to his death. Was he making those 1920s style faces? Like, remember the faces from the old videos where they're like super happy and it's like super fast paced?
It was fast paced. He wasn't, because he wasn't an entertainer. He was a dude who wanted to fly.
Yeah, he's legit. In his mind, he's like, this is going to be it. This is the first
time
humans fly.
It literally was.
Don't you think there's
that was it?
That was it for him.
There's got to be like a pretty substantial testing phase that I think he just skipped.
He skipped for sure. It's like, couldn't you? Yeah, you could. Nothing.
What would I call it? Like, hover bike. Here's an answer.
Or even hover. I feel like.
Yeah, man. I don't know why. I've always wanted to build a flying bike. It's one of my bucket list things. Oh shit! 27 million views.
Oh, this dude's not playing.
Okay, so it's a legit.
You could bring
vehicle.
Him. I'm sure he'd come over and build you one or something, or help you. I don't know.
The problem is, I want to.
The real bike.
I want to pedal.
Oh, okay, yeah, like ET vibes. You want to be the ET in front of the moon.
Exactly. Like, I think I'm gonna put either Kong or Evan to be the basket, alien in front of my basket.
He could probably modify it. I would
assume.
Hope so.
There's an ad.
Okay. You can't drag it to the screen because of the nails.
No, I can try it. I'm using my knuckles though. Okay. Look how hard this is.
There we go. We believe in you.
Here we go.
Yeah, ooh,
there it is.
Okay. Okay, so we got homemade hover bike,
and he's just like an engineer or what?
Yeah, he just makes he's like a crazy inventor. He makes crazy inventions.
Oh, yo, Colin
Furs. He did like these magnetic boots where he could walk up walls on them and stuff.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah, you'd love it.
Do you know him?
Yeah.
Yo, Colin, if you're seeing this video, bro, please come to the United States to help me make a bike. I have the funds.
Quick note, we're going there in like 2 weeks. Or 3 weeks.
I think it's a big project.
Better
I think
to
we do it here.
See, check that out, man. God. How thick is that?
Oh, you could
it's like Star Wars. It's like the guys of Star Wars.
Holy shit.
You could slap some pedals on that easy.
He really did it.
Also, my it one concern.
So it looks so dangerous.
Hey, I'll be honest with you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's not quite what we're looking for.
Okay. Well,
it's
a start.
The blades.
So talking about other bucket list items, I heard rumors. Maybe I saw something about you guys maybe building a treehouse in your garden?
Ooh, where'd you see that?
I don't know. I saw it somewhere. But anyway, it's been my dream since I was a kid to build a treehouse and potentially even like live in it one day. Like I've been even looking at like buying land in the jungle in Costa Rica or something, that kind of
thing. No way.
Yeah. So I, if you do that, man, I'd love to come over and help or something.
We looked into it.
Yeah.
We got very close. We were in contact with Pete Nelson from the Treehouse Masters.
Yeah.
Show on Animal Planet.
The show.
His boys came out. They 3D mapped the eucalyptus tree we have in the backyard.
I've seen the tree. Yeah. I was eyeing it. I was like, that would be good.
Why I bought the house. Not even kidding. I was like, the house is cool.
You need to do a little like Ewok walkway though from the tree to like maybe one of the balconies or something.
That would be so sick.
Yeah.
But anyways, he quoted me for $400,000.
Wow.
I'm from Ohio. I could do this shit myself.
I feel like you could get a cheaper quote, man.
I did. It was $150. It was the cheaper one. But still, man, how bad do I want the treehouse? You have a decent amount. Let's say you have a decent amount of money. I don't know if you do or don't. What's too much for a treehouse? Are you're probably the type of guy you do it yourself?
I don't know, man. I mean, I would invest in your treehouse though.
In my backyard.
Quick crowdfunding.
You move in there?
Yeah,
no problem.
I'll move in.
So we get a sixth roommate or seven. How many people do we have?
This is that's true. At this point, it 10. Wouldn't be a bad idea. We do need more.
Louis hanging out. Like
I don't know if my girlfriend Raya would be down, but you know.
You have a girlfriend named after a dating app?
Well, she was named first.
Wait, you have a girlfriend named after Evan's dog?
So our roommate's dog is also named Raya. Yeah. Raya?
Raya. Raya.
Yeah. Okay, so she was named first.
She was. Wait a second. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
What's happened? Shit.
What?
Are you I signed up for Raya. I signed up for Raya.
Oh, the app.
The
yeah.
dating app.
Yeah.
And I met a girl named Raya.
Whoa.
No, shut up.
Oh, no.
And I said, this is funny.
Did you say woof?
Because I'm a dog or?
She's Rez. She's Raya.
She's Raya.
The dog.
When did you meet this girl?
Like 4 years ago.
Oh, no. Then okay, different girl. What's her ethnicity?
Bulgarian.
Same girl.
Oh, unbelievable. She was asking us to go out to Bulgaria to hang out with her in the Bulgarian bathtubs. Crazy.
So there's more than one Raya. That makes sense.
Supposedly.
What does she think of you doing all these crazy things that, again, I would consider crazy, bro? Especially like the single prop engine plane. I don't fuck with that.
She was surprisingly chill with me flying around the world. The one that she really got upset with was when I went to North Korea and
Holy
was
what
shit.
And there was a 10-day because there's no internet out there, right? I had no
what'd
way.
You say, of, hey guy, what'd you say, guy?
You went to you where, say, sir? Say that one more time. I think I'm getting a little feedback in my earpiece.
I had to take my headphones off.
So in 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, I went to North Korea.
Okay.
That's what I thought you said.
Yeah. And there's no internet. There's no way of communicating. So, and obviously, you know, the stories, there's like that American kid that got imprisoned and died and
that's
all that.
That's you?
So, that's not me, luckily. No. But anyway, so that's the fear around it. And she was pretty upset that I'd...
What? Hey, that guy, so, all he did was take a poster and they killed
he
him.
He took a poster.
Why'd you go there, man?
So again, it's one of those things. I was like, weighed up the risks. I was like, it's just one guy. There's, you know, a lot of people that don't die when they go there. So I was like, this will be fun. I got invited. There was a surfing school that was going out there to teach North Koreans how to surf because it's the last nation on earth where there's surfing's been introduced. So I was like, they were like, do you want to come? I was like, yeah, that sounds amazing. I did get in a lot of trouble though because you can't talk negatively about the government or anything because they
of course
you know
not.
You don't want to say anything
of course not.
So I was like in my vlog, so I vlogged every day, like I vlogged like the whole 10 days. And
how did you
they're okay with you bringing cameras in. What they don't want you to bring in is like music, movies, anything that can be shown to the North Korean locals.
Because they don't want...
But they don't mind you filming and taking stuff out of the country. It's more about like preserving their...
Their culture.
Yeah.
Damn.
So when I got back, I made all these kind of fun vlogs, which is my vibe. I'm like positive, upbeat, you know, I'm not like a journalist. And then when I got back and uploaded these vlogs, I got huge backlash from like the press about like making fun vlogs in North Korea. They kind of... It was like, you've had a lot
fun.
Of backlash, man. Yeah, it was that kind of thing. It was like, the Washington Post was like, a YouTuber enlisted by North Korean government to make propaganda videos. That's literally the headline. And
were you?
No, I had to go to them and say,
admit you love Kim Jong-un. Yeah,
this is slander.
Admit it.
This is slander.
Were you paid by
him.
The North Koreans to go there?
No, that's the crazy thing. I was just going like...
Are you a North Korean spy?
I am not a North Korean spy.
All jokes aside, they let you tape like, so it's not propaganda. They'll let you go and tape like the women and like children hanging out surfing, but will they like let you tape like the women and children like starving to death in other parts of the like?
Well, that's the thing. We had limited access to the country.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually see, there was one point where there was like, we went through a village and there was like, it was like mild poverty. I've seen a lot worse in India and
Detroit,
Africa and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was like, there was a van, you know, and they said, you can't film here. Like they told me you can't film here. And it isn't like they're trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the world and pretend some. I think it's just they're a very proud nation. This is what they were telling me. They were like, we're just very proud and we want to show the best. We want people to kind of see that we're a strong nation. And so for me, I get the motivation. I don't think it's like this evil thing. I think there's probably other terrible things happening that I wasn't aware, like didn't see. But then that's all speculation. So I ended up in front of my vlog saying, look, go and do your research, watch all these documentaries where people have kind of done a lot of kind of digging and expose stuff and watch my vlogs alongside that, not as like
very.
Do you know what I mean? Because then you're getting
best advice you could ever give someone. It's the same way as like when you watch like last night's like State of the Union address. The smartest people will watch four different versions of the coverage of it and then start to make their own mind up. You know what I'm saying? Because as soon as you get locked into one provider of media or like storytelling, you're in a troubling position because everybody's got an agenda, right? But yeah, that's smart, dude.
It was cool as well because my friend's a musician and he wanted to make a music video whilst he was out there. So he wrote this rap and we got one of the North Korean girls to sing the chorus on the song. And then we filmed a whole music video out there. And it's like, it was cool, man. It was like, I was like, this must be the first time there's like some North Korean American collaboration on a music video. So I was like,
yeah. It's crazy.
And this was crazy because we were talking to her and then he said something about Justin Bieber, like, oh, you know Justin Bieber? And she said, what's Justin Bieber? And I was like,
how weird.
I was like, hold up. And I said to her, who are the biggest musicians in the world? And she's like, I don't know. And all they listen to out there is like Casio keyboard demos and like military opera.
Yeah,
that's
there's
it.
No.
That's literally the only.
There's
music.
No. There's no.
They have access to it. Oh, yeah, the number one podcast in the world.
Obviously.
True. Shout out to our North Korean.
This
audience.
Is true though. If you look at your analytics, I bet you'll see like 20 views from North Korea somehow. Like someone is getting.
No way.
Free. It's probably the government. Like, the government.
For sure.
Watching.
For sure.
Can I make a vlog with Kim Jong Un? I'm talking to the North Korean government. All 20 of you, please. I've always wanted to. Like, I'm not kidding. He just seems like a
who was that basketball player that was friends
Dennis
with
Dennis Rodman.
Rodman.
Yeah. He'll probably help you out.
We actually had an opportunity. I think it was either through you or Andre.
Yeah, through me. Somebody was hit me up about.
To do something with Dennis Rodman.
Yep.
Who I was going to finagle to get me to meet Kim.
Should I bring him in?
Yeah. Bring him on the podcast. I'm serious.
All right.
I haven't thought out this fully, but I do believe that we should look at connecting with people that we are like enemies, you know, the North Korean American, they still see themselves at war with America. Do you know what I mean?
So who better to send than the world's most controversial YouTuber?
Fact.
That's true.
And I would be,
if I die, like a few people are sad, but if I make it work, I'm a hero.
No, that's not true.
This is my chance.
That's not true.
I can stop nuclear war.
No,
tell me that's not,
no,
you don't want that?
I'm not saying that part's not true. I'm saying if you do succeed, they'll totally find a way to flip it so it's not good for you. You know that. Like, they wouldn't be like, controversial YouTuber Logan Paul stops nuclear war. They'd be like, controversial YouTuber Logan Paul stops nuclear war, but here's what he did fucked up while he did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'd somehow end up with a bad
I really
spin.
Wanted a better punchline, man.
I know.
I really did.
Yeah, I could tell you were struggling to get it. And we were all letting you go. I was like,
I wish somebody jumped in with some humorous piece.
Yeah, we were trying.
Can't hit them all, you know?
Man, well, how do you feel about KSI? You're British.
Yeah, I'm friends with him. I mean, I haven't seen him for a while, but I've hung out with him.
Who's your clique? Do you hang out with people? YouTubers?
I feel like I used to have like, there used to be little squads going on back in the day, but I feel like everyone kind of went off and did their own thing. Like, so a lot of the British YouTubers, I don't know if you know, like Alfie Day, Zoella, Marcus Butler. Even Casper, Joe, like that kind of crew was like, probably who I was hanging out with the most back in the day.
You did a thing in a white bus.
Yeah.
And was it on Snapchat or Instagram? I saw it. You guys got like it was an adventure thing. I think it was like on Snapchat.
Yeah, maybe. We might have posted some stuff on Snapchat. Maybe.
Or maybe it was
more Instagram.
Maybe it was Instagram.
Stories. Yeah.
They like featured you guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like traveling across the country.
Yeah,
in that giant white bus. And you actually inspired me to buy a bus.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
cool. Yeah, yeah.
It's outside right now.
There's a funny story about that bus. I had saw it on Facebook and it was this German couple that had basically made a documentary about them converting it. So they turned it into this beautiful, they'd already converted it, like tiny home. And this Facebook video went viral and I watched it and followed them on Instagram and realized he was already following me. So I DM'd him. I was like, hey man, like, I see you're in Mexico. I'm going to be in Mexico next week. Let's hang out. So I went to see, hung out, saw the bus and they had basically just finished filming and they were looking to get rid of the bus. So they raffled the bus. They sold 1,000 tickets for $100 each and ended up making $100,000, selling the bus.
You know where they did that?
In Mexico, right?
No. Was it online, the raffle?
Oh, yeah. I think they got in trouble maybe because there's laws about raffling. Anyway, so this guy called Pablo, this Mexican dude.
Yeah, Escobar.
Yeah, Pablo Escobar.
He won the bus, right? So the following year, I was hanging out with the original German dude and I was like, oh, man, I would have loved to get that bus. I would have bought it off you. And he goes, oh, Pablo is selling the bus. And it's this is down in Tulum in southern Mexico. So I'm like, put me in touch, hit up Pablo. I was like, bro, and bartered with him, basically transferred him. How much did I buy it for? Anyway, transferred him some money on PayPal. And then, but
he didn't give
again,
you the bus because he's a
very,
Mexican drug lord.
Very trusting of me. I just transferred him all this money, all this cash.
Okay.
And then my friend was like, you should probably fly down to Mexico and get that bus before it disappears. So went down with four friends and then we just did this epic road trip driving this bus back from Tulum all the way back to
already
LA.
Converted.
Already converted.
Bathroom.
Yeah. Shower.
Bedroom.
Yeah. Bedroom.
Damn.
It was
so
nice,
what you're saying is buy the Sprinter.
Y'all,
is that what you're saying?
Here's our dilemma.
Yeah.
We were talking about raffling off the bus, or even maybe selling it. But I think a raffle is illegal.
There's ways of I think what it is is you can't. Someone has to be able to enter it without having to pay as well. Like there has to be both options. Like you can't have a pay barrier with a raffle.
What?
Yeah,
it's something
no purchase necessary. That has to be in every sweepstakes I've ever run on the brand side, there always has to be a no purchase necessary option where someone can send a postcard in to like
there's some
actual age. But the other problem is every state in the United States has different lottery and raffle compliance.
So if someone's entering from a different state,
it might fuck us, dude. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so we haven't been able to do it. But why are we doing it again?
We might get a Sprinter van, a little more modern type of transportation for the team.
It'll be a bit easier to drive around as well.
That too. And the battery dies on this thing. And it's awesome, by the way. Like, I don't know, Logang, who's watching, if you remember the cool bus.
It is a cool bus.
Bro,
it is, cool.
It is the cool bus. That's
You'll have great. To show me on the bus after.
It's sick, dude. It's incredible. Like, it's got a TV in it. We've won like Fortnite games on the road. We took a Yosemite. I believe we've all hooked up with people in there, sometimes each other. Am I right?
I haven't yet.
I was sleeping. Man,
hey, shouts to Olga.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, that's what you meant. Oh, okay.
Nah,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
What's that?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, all right. See you later. Anyways.
This went off the rails. The point is I wanna get a Sprinter van and possibly sell the bus. Disappointed that the raffle is illegal.
I've got this 1973 VW camper van, those classic ones, and I want to convert it to an electric van. Because it's currently got this like engine that keeps breaking. So if anyone's watching that like knows about electric conversions, hit me up because Spencer, I want to make that.
I know
happen.
This guy in the UK, his name's Confers.
Oh yeah.
He might be able to help you with that.
Okay,
Spencer wants to do something like that.
Oh, should I reveal that now?
I don't know. Now's if you're talking about all conversions. Right,
true. So what I want to do is I don't know if I'm going to give this idea actually out right now.
Oh, because someone might steal it.
Yeah, somebody might steal it.
Okay.
It involves a Tesla.
Ah.
You but said enough. I'm already taking it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do it.
Go ahead. Go buy a Tesla. Damn it.
Did you see the thing with Elon Musk doing, he might do a meme review on PewDiePie's channel?
I did see that. Excuse my ignorance. What is meme review?
I think it's one of PewDiePie's like formats. He does like a meme review where he just like people submit to his Reddit page and then he just like responds. He just reacts to them or whatever.
Random memes about anything.
I think. Yeah, I guess.
And he determines if they're funny or not. Like, what? How do you review a meme?
I mean,
like,
I don't know, man. I've watched one of them. It's kind of funny.
It's good.
But I thought it's so random that Elon Musk's gonna.
He probably just picks out like the good memes and then.
Man, Elon Musk is so smart. He knows what he is.
I've seen him collab with a few. YouTubers.
I think Joe Rogan. He's tweeting back at Tfue like Mr. Beast. Like he knows what he's doing, man.
He knows what. Plus, you gotta. Think it's probably a lot easier to converse to our demographic than it is to older people about electricity or electric vehicles.
Also, it's clever because like we're the ones that are all going to buy Teslas in the future.
Truth.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Elon knows he's got to stay tight.
Yeah.
He's got to stay dope.
Stay cool.
Because like go smoke pot on Joe Rogan's podcast. Like the old people are mad at you, but also the young generation, which is by the way, we're the future, whether you like it or not. We're going to buy your Teslas, Elon. We love you, bro.
True.
And when are you coming on, by the way? Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world.
Yeah, you've done everybody else's shit podcast. Do ours. We're number one.
Okay, I'm going to run an idea past you. This is my next kind of big plan this year. So I'm slowing down the travel a little bit because I'm in LA living with friends. But I want to plan some trips this year where I take YouTubers with me on adventures and but make them kind of meaningful, like either we're doing some kind of humanitarian thing or kind of like environmental cause. But I just think there's something happening Oh, I've noticed it where like a lot of the bigger YouTubers get quite isolated. There used to be a lot of more like cliques and groups of people, but I feel like there's this, and I don't know whether it's just YouTubers or just society in general, but I think people are getting a lot lonelier. There's like a huge, like all this stuff with like people getting burnt out and depressed and all that kind of stuff. But you see it in society as general. So it's like depression, suicide rates, like anxiety, all of this stuff. And I think, man, like I'd love to take people away, do, make some cool content, have some adventures, maybe visit kind of remote people groups and like primitive tribes and learn something from them. Like what was life like before we got absorbed into the internet and social media? And like, what can we learn about living in a different way?
So you want to do a collab with the North Sentinelese people? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe,
right,
man.
Because I'll...
Let's hit them up.
I mean...
But I just thought it'd be
maybe
cool.
Maybe call them first.
It'd be cool to try something like that. Because I think we're... There's a lot of ways in which society's kind of failing right now, you know?
I like that idea and I'm in.
Yeah.
If you can come up with something cool.
You down
bro,
to join?
I've wanted to do something like that forever. We've talked about doing it. Yeah,
yeah,
man,
especially recently.
Especially if there's a, like a humanitarian aspect with it, that'd be sick.
Man, leave it with me. I've got some good ideas.
Yeah, for real. That'd be fun. Yeah. Okay. I want to go to the audio Q&A only. Just a nice little bit.
Yeah.
Probably a busy guy. But yeah, dude, thank you for coming on the podcast. Yeah. Fun for Louis. He brought gifts.
What do we got?
Oh, yeah.
We got some merch.
Theadventurestore.com if anyone wants some.
No.
Taking the leaf out of your book, man.
Go for it, bro. Always plug. Always. Live the adventure. I like that.
It's a good motto to live life by.
Big facts. Ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Hit that subscribe button. We will see you next time. Stay tuned for the audio question and answer only right now on Spotify and iTunes. Take it easy, man. Peace.
Peace.
These nails, dude. I am so excited to see the comments. If people are like, yuck, I could not focus on a thing that you were saying because of the nails. Because, bro, you have an interesting story. Like, I hope I didn't distract the people from it visually.
Cool, man. I'm just jealous. I want to try them out.
No, they're bad.
They suck, dude.
It's bad. So, yo, I guess, like, I always like to ask this question to people who have experienced a lot, and I feel like you have, because experience can define who you are, how you act, why you do the things you do, and oftentimes can overcome the significance of age, biological age.
Yeah.
So what are some big overarching lessons, nice little succinct virtues that you live by, if any, that you've learned from your travels?
Mm. I really love this quote Trevor Noah has, which is travel is the antidote to ignorance. And I think that's so true. Like the more I've traveled, the more I've been kind of open-minded and accepted other cultures and realized, you know, man, there's different ways of doing things. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess I'd recommend everyone just to get out of their bubble and go to some really different places and meet some really different people. And I think it will broaden your views.
So, but what if you're feeling trapped, man? Like what if you're from a flyover state in the middle of America and, your parents treat you a certain way. You've been told a certain thing at school. Like when I was young and even worse for my brother, like, and we were making videos, like you can imagine people fucking laughed at us. No one believed in us or anything. Mm. So do you have advice for people who feel like they can't get out?
It's hard. I mean, I had this amazing group of friends growing up and thankfully like just having even one other friend that gets it, that's kind of believes in you and believes there's more than what you're currently in.
That's I had that too.
That's what you need.
I had that too. His name is Mac.
If you're on your own, I mean, I guess there's ways to connect with people online, try and make friends and plan something. I did a few events for Live the Adventure where we had like just a small summit and my viewers came, we sold tickets and we had this like 3-day event where we would like, I don't know, do workshops, chat about travel, life and living the adventure and stuff like that. But so many people there came alone. They came for the first time, didn't know anyone else and made like lifelong friends. And since then they've been traveling together. And I feel like there must be, I'm not saying just the events I'm doing, but there must be ways to connect with people in real life where you can kind of bond and make friends and be like, cool, let's go on a road trip together.
Yeah.
That's what I did. My first traveling was like, I bought a crappy van for like $1,000 and then 8 of my friends, we just drove into Europe or in the US, you could just drive into another state and just plan a little road trip, you know, split the gas bill. It's not going to be that expensive.
I always said too, like, you can spend your whole life like waiting for a friend to travel with you.
Yeah.
Like literally you'll just sit there and wait. Yeah. And like, it's not a good time for me. It's not a good time for me now. And like a lot of times I encourage people just go.
Yeah.
Just
you can go on your own and you'll meet people on the road.
100%. And you'll make friends with them and everything. And I think the first 3 or 4 trips I took by myself, like to either LA or to Texas or whatever, were a little bit scarier because you're flying on your own and like you're just on your own. But damn, then I started to realize like that freedom that you have of not ever having to ask, hey man, do you want to stop to eat? Hey man, do you want to stop to use the bathroom? Like you just do whatever you want and you're truly free and you have conversations with really cool people and you make new friends and make new relationships along the way. So I encourage people all the time, just go out and travel on your own. Just give it a shot. What's the worst that could happen?
One of my biggest, best adventures.
Bears.
Yeah. Bears. Oh yeah.
Large bears.
That's
one of my best adventures. I was, I hitchhiked across Australia for 3 weeks with no money. And that was honestly one of the biggest adventures. Like it was so epic.
Bro, I did. You were in Vancouver, right? What happened?
I did a trip from Vancouver to Mexico, a hitchhiking trip.
Yeah.
Also with no money.
Cool.
And I have to say, I did not like it.
No, you meet some weird people.
But also I met some cool people, but also like, I'm just not good at, and it's interesting. I kind of hinted at this with the Yes Theory boys yesterday. When people say no, or I get like rejected, I kind of just like sad because I'm an optimist and I believe in people. And I'm like, damn, it's just like this world isn't as good as I thought. And then when people give me things and buy things for me, like a meal or food, I'm like, meh, you're so nice. And I don't like that either. Like, what did I do to deserve that? You don't even know me. Mm. So I'm caught in this like weird balance of emotions. Did you ever feel like that? Or was hitchhiking like a second nature to you?
I know what you're saying. I think someone told me this once as well. Like, there's something about allowing somebody else to be generous to you. I know you can take advantage of people in that situation, but there's something about someone expressing generosity, which it's good for them as well. Like, it's good for all of us to be generous, right? If I'm trying to give a gift to someone and they're like, no, I can't accept it, like, that's robbing me of the opportunity to be generous. Do you know what I mean? Which helps us. It helps our soul. So when I heard that, I was like, okay, I mean, obviously I'm not going to go around just taking advantage of everyone, but if someone's offering me something, it's good for them to be able to give it, to not just to me, to you know, to give things. So
some lady gave me a knife. She said, I've hitchhiked before. You got a knife on you? I'm like, no. She goes, here, take this.
Oh my God.
Handing me a little pocket knife.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
You got to be open to receiving for sure.
Even if it's a knife.
And also, if someone gives something to you, for me personally, that inspires me to want to like give to other people. You know, like it might not be give back to them, but it might be like, it's the karma thing. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to pay that on. Pay it forward. Yeah.
Which is always a good philosophy.
Yeah. That's good, man.
Well, I was going to say, it might have something to do with just because like, I know in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't need these things. I'm doing this for content. Mm. And like, what if that person who bought me the meal could have spent that $15 on gas money to get to their job for the next week? So it was like a deep thought process that made me feel a little bad.
I still think it comes back though to like, you're robbing someone of that feeling of that, you know, expression of giving to you. And I think if you let them do that, it ultimately, like sometimes when you cut that off, it can hurt people too.
Yeah. A
little balance. Have you encountered any like aggressive wild animals during your adventures?
I must have. Let me think for a second.
Aggressive wild animals.
Mm. Like where you're like, damn, this is,
for example,
I'm in a hairy situation.
Maybe that goldfish.
Joe Rogan just put on his Instagram.
Yeah.
Some dude just choked out a mountain lion that tried to attack him. He killed the mountain lion.
I saw that.
What do you call it? A cunt cat?
A cunt of a cat. That's what he said.
This motherfucker killed this cunt of a cat. Can you imagine strangling a mountain lion, like fighting for your life? And
no, I've often like wanted to imagine like which animals pitted against me. Like obviously I'm a pacifist. I like animals, but in a life or death situation, which animals one-on-one could I take down? I've often thought that.
Do you think?
And I thought a lion, literally no chance, but a cheetah in the right circumstances, maybe, because they're much smaller, right? They're not like, hench muscles like a leopard or something. A leopard would just kill you straight off. But a cheetah, I feel like if you got it in a headlock and like jumped on it, I'm not sure. This is a theory.
No,
this
I agree with you. Cheetahs are pussies, bro. No, seriously, like literally cats. I know, but they're also not, wimps. They're also.
Although I did watch a video the other day where this cheetah was like licking this guy's arm, and I didn't realize, but even the tongue has like serrated like spikes.
Oh,
and
they get one of those.
And it licked it and it drew blood from it's like up, sandpaper, yeah. But it was soap. So I need to avoid that tongue.
If that thing gets one bite of you, dude, you just have to make sure it doesn't bite you. Like you're trying to snap limbs, snap whatever. But if that thing gets a bite of your neck, bro.
I'm not convinced.
What I'm saying is you wouldn't die instantly. You'd have a bit of a fight. It might kill you, but I feel like you'd.
What about mountain lion, man? I always thought those were severely intense creatures. And so I'm impressed with this dude that took down
I am impressed. Like,
the scary thing about mountain lions is they'll hide in a tree and wait until you're not looking and go for
leopards.
Your neck. This guy got attacked from behind.
Yeah. Leopards like, have the highest kill rate of any predator on the planet.
Leopards?
Yeah, because they're so sneaky. Like a lion you can kind of see coming. A leopard, apparently, it's like a 99%
kill
rate.
You mean versus human?
Like, no, for anything it attacks. Anything it attacks. You see lions all the time, they fail their hunting attack.
Yeah, yeah.
But leopards, apparently, they like barely ever fail to kill what they
Who's got the lowest effective kill rate?
Probably Kong.
Would it be turkeys?
Probably Kong.
I think Kong.
That's actually a great question. What animal has the lowest effective?
Sloth? Turtle?
Yeah.
Well, they're not attacking other animals.
You need to be a predator.
Man, I feel like it might be the lion. Like
lions, yeah.
They're kind of slow. They're thick. They're big.
Giraffe.
But who, bro? What's a giraffe killing?
Venus flytrap, maybe.
A Venus flytrap.
I don't know. They're probably.
We should look into that. That's
too.
Interesting.
Lowest effective kill. Like, who's the worst predator on this earth?
Yo, big cats. They scare me.
Yeah.
Like you see.
Have you been
videos
around? Have you been around big cats?
Oh yeah, bro. Yeah. I've wrestled with them. I've dealt with them. I wrestled the bear. So like, and now that I know the strength of these animals, so cute. I'm terrified of them. And you see the videos of like a dude in India falling in a cage and the tiger like licking him for 10 minutes and then finally like grabbing his neck and treating him like a rag doll, dragging him up a set of stairs. So. Hey, in your travels, bro, do me a favor. Stay away from big cats, all right?
Yeah, okay, okay.
All right, yo, fun for Louis. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming on Impulsive.
Yeah,
my Impulsive podcast in the world. Hit that subscribe button. I'm going to go do something about these nails to finish this vlog. We'll see you next time. Take it easy, fam.
Traffic jams. Tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.